You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team.
Yo, Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team, every day. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. This is the daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, here by myself, rolling solo dolo, Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essentials, still on vacation, so I told him I'd hold down the fort. And Dodgers did not play on Monday, so there's not a game to talk about. But there's still some stuff to talk about. Going to look at the remaining schedules for the Giants, Dodgers, and Padres and kind of gain some analysis from it. Going to take a look at a conversation I've seen a lot on Twitter the last couple days with Trey Turner versus Corey Seager, if you had to give one an extension, and then just talk about this upcoming series with the Phillies. But before all that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, let's start off with a roster update. The Dodgers claimed catcher Anthony Bemboom from the Angels and right-hander Connor Green from the Orioles. In order to make room for them, Danny Duffy and Clayton Kershaw were both moved to the 60-day injured list. Nothing too concerning on that second part. Both guys can return in September. Clayton Kershaw's date will be September 5th, the earliest he can return, which would give him a month, probably three or four starts to get ready for October if he was healthy as soon as September starts. Danny Duffy a little bit later, September 15th is when he's eligible to come off the injured list, and definitely puts him more in the reliever category if that's the case. Even if he builds up innings over the next month or so of being injured, he definitely probably wouldn't be a starter. And by that point, the Dodgers probably wouldn't need a starter anyways. They're too deep in it. So hopefully those guys both can come back the earliest dates possible and give the Dodgers a look at what they got the last month. With Kershaw, we kind of know what he's got. As long as he's healthy, he's going to be pretty solid. And now with Buehler and Scherzer, he doesn't need to be anything more than a number three starter in a potential postseason series. Kershaw number three, he could do a lot worse than that. And then with Duffy, yeah, he'll have about 2 weeks of to provide and see what the Dodgers, what he can give the Dodgers. If the Dodgers don't find any other left-handed relievers by that point, then it could be a welcome boost that Danny Duffy brings. But hopefully they will have at least one or two other guys that stand out the rest of the way in order to make it a tough decision on them for a potential postseason bullpen role. But yeah, that's just cleaning up the roster updates. Bemboom's going to AAA, and I would imagine Connor Green is too, unless the Dodgers activate him and send down Kevin Quackenbush, which is certainly possible. They also sent down Zach Rex, and in anticipation of bringing back Corey Kniebel. So, yeah, that's all the moves roster-wise on a Monday. Kniebel should hopefully provide a big boost there in the later innings. I'm sure the Dodgers will ease him into a role in terms of how long or how much he pitches, but I don't think they'll have to limit him in terms of the leverage. If there's a time in the seventh or eighth inning where the Dodgers need a big arm to do some work, I believe Corey Kniebel will get the call. But in terms of this series with the Phillies, it's an interesting series. Was probably one that looked more like a for sure winner earlier, even as early as late as 2 weeks ago, and then the Phillies have caught a hot streak. They went from third place in the NL East to a two-game lead in the NL East over the Mets and Braves, I believe. They have won eight in a row. And, yeah, it's interesting because they have won eight in a row. They did just sweep the Mets. The Mets are struggling. And then they beat the Nationals and the Pirates before that. So it's not the most impressive eight in a row. But as we've seen with the Dodgers, I mean, they haven't been able to put together a run like that in a while, and especially with some of the games they've been having against lower level teams, you still have to win those games. So for the Phillies, Bryce Harper's been on fire lately. He's really climbed the leaderboards in terms of the MVP race. He's put himself, I think, one or two in odds now for MVP in a lot of places, and has really carried the team in the last, or since All-Star break, sitting 370. So he's a guy that has struggled against the Dodgers historically. The Dodgers will be sending out Max Scherzer, David Price, and I would imagine a bullpen game on Thursday. So, you know, Scherzer should be able to handle his former teammate. David Price, lefty-lefty, should have a little bit of an advantage, hopefully. And then bullpen game, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, other than that, they're supposed to get back Didi Gregorius, I think, during this series. They're supposed to get back maybe Rhys Hoskins during this series, which will help them out. Their offense has been pretty good since the All-Star break, scoring almost 5 runs a game. But they've also been allowing almost 5 runs a game. So their pitching is definitely not that strong. The Dodgers will avoid Zach Wheeler, who's been the co-ace or co-NL Cy Young Award finalist matchup guy with Walker Buehler. Since Jacob deGrom went down, the Dodgers won't have to face him. They'll face Aaron Nola, and they'll face Kyle Gibson, who was an All-Star with the Rangers and could also be pretty good. But you know, it hasn't been an All-Star his entire career, so he's still – has room for regression. It has regressed a little bit. And then Thursday is a morning game, 10 o'clock, which is now at the current time TBD versus TBD. So we'll see what it is. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting series. The Dodgers haven't really played that well in Philadelphia for a while now. I think they're like 12-11 since 2013, I saw in Philadelphia, even though the Phillies haven't been that good of a team. It's a big East Coast swing. And the Dodgers are starting, I'll get into this a little bit in the next one, but the Dodgers are starting a stretch of 22 games in 23 days. And the first one goes, you know, they're going all the way east, Phillies and Mets, a couple of early games in there. Actually, the Sunday night game against the Mets will be a little bit later, so that'll save them a little bit. But, yeah, it's, you know, a big series for them and, you know, a big series for the Phillies as well, as they're fighting for the NL East. So maybe the Dodgers play up to competition. Maybe this will be good for them, playing teams that are actually playing for something rather than the Angels and Diamondbacks that they played recently. They did take 2 out of 3 in both those series, but weren't able to win the series. And those teams aren't playing for much other than maybe not as many losses as they – not to pile on as many losses as possible. So, yeah, I'm hoping the best for the Dodgers in this series. They got the key matchup. You know, they should win on Tuesday with Scherzer. Even with Aaron Nola, who's been good in the past, they have, you know, I'd say pretty fairly matched David Price, Kyle Gibson, the way Price has been throwing lately, and the way Gibson, you know, he's not going to blow a bayou, so it's a guy the Dodgers should be able to get to. And Thursday, yeah, I'm not sure about the Phillies rotation. I know the Dodgers probably going to be a bullpen game. And in the bullpen games, they've done pretty well. They just have to hit. So that's going to be the big thing right now, you know, with the Dodgers is hitting, putting up 5-6 runs a game, and letting the pitching take care of it. If they can get the same backing they gave Max Scherzer last time, then they should have no problem here in game one, and then move on from there. So we'll see what happens with this Phillies series. I'm actually kind of excited to see, you know, like I said, they won 8 in a row, not against great teams, but that doesn't matter. And they're playing for something, and then the Dodgers are also playing for something because they're still 4 games back of the Giants. So they still have work to do, and we'll get into the Giants schedule and the Padres schedule and the Dodgers schedule the rest of the way in the next segment. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. And with baseball season in full swing, you can track all the action at BetOnline. Let's head over to BetOnline and check on tonight's matchup with the Dodgers and Phillies. Max Scherzer versus Aaron Nola. The Dodgers are currently 1.5 run favorites at -103. So pretty decent odds if you think they're going to win by 2. You won't double up your money, but you'll be close to it, I guess. They're -165 if you want to take them straight up. So not as much value there. The over-under is set at 8.5, and it's at -110 for both sides. I don't imagine the Phillies are going to score much off Max Scherzer. Aaron Nola is good, but hasn't been that great this year. But I still don't expect the Dodgers to put up 8 runs worthy. So I'd bet the under. But you can go to BetOnline, check out all the odds, and do what you want to do. So before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check everything out. And if you sign up and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, I'm back. And let's take a look at some schedules for the Dodgers and the Padres and the Giants. The Dodgers are currently 4 games behind the Giants and I believe 3 games ahead of the Padres. The rest of this month for the Dodgers shakes out. They have one off day on August 23rd, but no other off days the rest of the month. They had 2 Philadelphia Phillies and Mets on the road, come home for the Pirates and Mets, go to San Diego for 3 games, and then they play the Rockies, and then they play the Braves, and then they have a day off in September. They have the last series with the Giants the first week of September, then they head to St. Louis, then they come back home and play the Padres and the Diamondbacks, then they head on the road for a long one, the Reds, the Rockies, the D-backs, before finishing at home against the Padres and the Brewers. So, some not too many first place teams in there. The Phillies are a first place team. The Mets are second place team. The Pirates are very bad. Mets are struggling, but still competitive team. Then they got the Padres. Then bad team Rockies. Decent team Braves. The Giants. A team out of contention in the Cardinals. The Padres again. D-backs out of it. Reds still in it. Rockies out of it. You know, the way it goes. Not an easy schedule the rest of the way, but the way the Dodgers are built, you know, games against teams like the Reds and the Mets and the Phillies should be wins. Obviously those teams aren't playing to be in the playoffs. They're good teams, but the Dodgers are better teams. The games against the Padres the rest of the way, 6. The games against the Giants, 3. Those will be competitive games, and those will might determine the division at this point. Like I mentioned, they're 4 behind the Giants, so they don't technically own their own destiny for the NL West. They will need some help, but hopefully they can get it out. The last series with the Brewers is going to be interesting because the Brewers will probably have clinched the NL Central by then. They could potentially just be setting up for their postseason series. They may not want to throw all their guys, or they may hold their guys to abbreviated starts. They do have 3 of the top pitchers in the major leagues. So that's going to be a big one if it comes down to the last weekend and maybe the Dodgers are playing the Brewers, who aren't necessarily throwing their guys 7 innings and ready to win. Now let's head over to the Giants, see what they got the rest of the way. They got the D-backs and Rockies this week, which could be a big week if the Dodgers do not do well on the East Coast. D-backs not good, Rockies not good. But then they have a stretch where they play the Mets, the A's, the Mets again, the Braves, the Brewers, and then the Dodgers. So after that, they have 2 weeks of playing teams that are either in contention or in first place. So the Dodgers could separate themselves there, ending with the 3 games against the Dodgers in SF. Then they play the Rockies and Cubs, 2 bad teams. Then they got the Padres and Braves, 2 teams that should be fighting for playoffs. Then the Padres again, then the Rockies, then the D-backs, and they finish with the Padres. So the good thing is, finishing with the Padres, is if the Padres are still fighting for a role in the wild card game or even for the division, those games could be big. Like I said, this week's going to be huge for the Dodgers because the Rockies and D-backs are playing the Giants. 6 games right there. Yeah, 6 games right there. The Giants are probably going to go 4-2 at the very least in those games. Meaning the Dodgers have to go 5-1 on this road trip in New York to try to make up a game. So this week's going to be big. Then after that, the Padres or the Giants schedule gets a little bit harder. Looking over at the Padres, they got the Marlins and the D-backs this week. Then they got the Rockies. Then they got the Phillies, Dodgers, Angels, D-backs, Astros, Angels, Dodgers, Giants, Cardinals, Giants, Braves, Dodgers, and then close out with the Giants. So this is where the Dodgers can make up some ground when the Padres and Giants play each other. They can beat up on each other. The Padres still play the Astros. They still play the Dodgers. They still play the Giants a few more times. And they play the Cardinals will still be fighting for it. Then they finish with the Giants. So, strength of schedule-wise, no team really has a clear, distinct advantage, I would say. That everyone's kind of playing the same teams. If anything, maybe the Padres might have the easiest one the rest of the way, but they also play the Giants 7 more times or 10 more times. So maybe not that easy. So like I said, those 10 games are definitely going to help decide the division for sure. The biggest thing, you know, looking at the schedules, obviously, whatever, you can make whatever it is, but the Dodgers have to win, and they have to play better, and that's really what it comes down to. You know, the Giants are a good team. They're probably going to be a good team the rest of the way, and, you know, the Dodgers are going to have to outplay them by at least four games in order to take the division. And, you know, when it's, you don't want to play the one-game wild card. Obviously, the Dodgers are, you know, pretty suited for it. They got Walker Buehler and Max Scherzer, two of the best big game pitchers. Whatever one would have happened to land that day, assuming they have to finish out the season strong. And if it is the Padres have played well against the Dodgers so far. They got more games coming up, so the Dodgers could turn the tables a little bit there. But really what I want to just highlight is that there's not that much time left. Jeff and I have said that we still believe the Dodgers are going to win the division, and, you know, I still believe that's possible, but time's getting shorter. Time is not on the Dodgers' side, and they really need to start playing better. They can't lose games like last Friday against the Angels. They can't lose games like the Friday before against the Diamondbacks. They can't lose those games anymore. They don't have to play perfect, but they have to win the games they should win. They can't, you know, get stagnant on offense and lose a game 2-1 or go to extra innings, because we all know how they play in extra innings. And yeah, it's just a matter of, you know, playing better. And now, hopefully, you know, if Mookie and Muncy are fine and they stay in the lineup, Bellinger maybe heats up, Trey Turner in the lineup every day now, the offense should pick up. They should be scoring 5-6 runs a game. That should be enough for most of their starting pitchers, especially, you know, Buehler, Julio, Scherzer being the three. I'd even throw David Price in the mix. He's had one or two clunkers, but it's been pretty solid the rest of the way and is pretty, you know, ramped up pitch count-wise to where he can go five or six innings every time out. So it's a matter of doing it and you know, just going out there and winning and playing well. And obviously, you know, it's a lot easier said than done, but the Dodgers have this team on paper. They've been touted. You know, they're still the favorites to make the World Series, even though they're not favored to win the division, I don't believe. But they're still favored to get to the World Series, which just shows you, you know, how good this team is, how good this team can be. But you don't want to leave that to chance in a one-game playoff. You know, the rotation of Buehler, Scherzer, Kershaw, Julio in a seven-game series sounds very great and sounds very promising. But it won't matter at all if the Dodgers can't win one game, if they don't win the division, if they can't win the one-game wild card. So yeah, time's coming down. Dodgers have to go on a run. They haven't had a big run in a while. They played well, and then they've not played well over the last 2 weeks, and they need a really good hot stretch here to finish out this month and head into September, hopefully within at least two games, striking distance, heading into that series against the Giants in San Francisco. That'll be their last chance to take advantage and beat up on the team that's ahead of them, or they're ahead of them now. Hopefully not ahead of them by then, but we'll see what happens. And then, like I said, take care of the games against the Padres. That the Padres have owned the Dodgers pretty well so far this season. They got six more to kind of turn the tables and flip the narrative around. And the Padres are playing decent, but they haven't really gained too much ground on either team in the past few weeks. Every team's kind of been a little middling. The Dodgers definitely missed chance to take advantage of that. So we'll see what happens, obviously. But, yeah, I'm excited. I mean, the Dodgers haven't had, you know, 2018 technically was a close race, and you know, some people helped out the Dodgers along the way in that. But I'd never doubted that team. I knew that team was getting to the World Series regardless. This team, I have the same feeling, but I don't know why. I'm just scared of the one game wild card. If the Dodgers win the division, go straight to the division. Yeah, I don't see anyone beating them, assuming they play to their potential. But, yeah, that one game wild card just scares me. So I hope they don't play in it. But I'm going to come back. That's going to do it for this. I'm going to come back and talk about Trey Turner versus Corey Seager and some of the debates I've been seeing on social media. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why wait for the person behind the counter to order the parts on their computer, choosing only the brands that they happen to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket, so why don't you choose to do that? You'll save time and money when using Rock Auto. You'll be supporting a family business that's been serving people online for over 20 years. And you'll be getting the best prices available for every customer, not just a mechanic, not just someone from the dealership. Everybody gets the same low prices, and it gets shipped directly to your place of residence. I don't know what else to say. RockAuto.com. They have an easy-to-use website. You can find all the part you need. You can find everything you need, from brake parts to new carpet. It's all right there at RockAuto.com. And when you head to RockAuto.com, see all the parts available for your car or truck. When they ask, how did you hear about us, in that box, let them know that Locked On sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, RockAuto.com. All right, last segment, and this is something I've been seeing a lot on Twitter the last couple days, and it's Trey Turner versus Corey Seager, and who you would rather give a long-term contract to. We also got a question in the DMs from Andrew at Andrew Moskowitz, basically asking if you guys could re-sign one of Seager or Trey Turner to an 8 to 10 year deal, who are you taking? And it's an interesting question, and it's one where, you know, you can get really caught up in prisoner of the moment. Obviously, Corey Seager has struggled a bit this season and has been injured, and, you know, just coming off all that, Trey Turner has already wowed us with his speed. Trey Turner's having an MVP-type year so far and could continue that. And Trey Turner's been really good the last few years. But, you know, just going back, Trey Turner's played in 162 games one time in his career in 2018, and played in 59 of 60 games last year. So he's been healthy. But then in 2019, he played 122 games. This year, he's played in 99 games. So I guess he's missed a little time, probably with a COVID outbreak. But he's been worth 4.3 WAR on Fangraphs. Seager this year, 0.7 WAR in 45 games. So if you double that for the amount of games played, Seager's, you know, still less than half of what Trey Turner's been. Corey Seager's had higher peaks earlier in his career, 2016, 2017. He had 6.9 WAR and 6.0 WAR. Trey Turner has never had more than 5 WAR. He had 4.8 in 2018. He should pass 5 WAR and maybe get into 6 WAR territory this season, depending how he goes the rest of the way. So it's an interesting debate. It depends, I guess, what you like. Corey Seager is not the exact character of great defense. He had better numbers defensively earlier in his career. He's kind of declined ever since then. We've seen, you know, maybe him benefit from the Dodgers shifting. It's hard to – you can probably count the number of times Corey Seager's dove for a ground ball on maybe both hands. People have said he's too big to play shortstop his whole career. He might have to move to third base eventually, which could, you know, be something the Dodgers think about, considering Justin Turner has 3 more years, and who knows if he'll continue playing on after that. So they would be able to open up third base. And honestly, you know, maybe prison of the moment, I've always liked Trey Turner. He's scared me ever since that 2016 series against the Nationals when they had to play him in the postseason. He's stolen at least 30 bases in every year so far. He's down 22 this year, but he's still in as high as 46. His strikeout rate's pretty low. His, you know, average is pretty solid. His OBP's been pretty solid. His slugging's been pretty solid for as small as a guy he is. And his WRC plus has been pretty solid. You know, Corey Seager probably has a higher value as a hitter if you go by their peaks. You know, Corey Seager, like I said, he just as recent as 2017 was a 6 WAR player. Had a, you know, WRC plus of 152 just last year, and was the World Series and NLCS MVP. You know, defensively, Trey Turner's metrics have been kind of different. He's been positive some years, negative some years. He's positive this year. But, yeah, I guess it's a matter of what you want. I'm not necessarily sure Trey Turner, you know, you got to think about how they're going to age. I'm not necessarily sure Trey Turner is going to age as gracefully. But that doesn't mean Corey Seager is going to age gracefully either. Corey Seager is one of those who can get out of bed and be a hitter. And Trey Turner, I'm not sure yet. I haven't seen him enough. But he's obviously a guy that's been able to handle the bat pretty well. Here's the thing. The Dodgers can afford to do both if they really, really wanted to. I don't think they are. And it's a matter of, you know, how other people value them. Corey Seager right now, I don't think gets a $300 million deal if he goes into free agency after this season. Trey Turner, if he has another season like he's having this season and maybe helps the Dodgers to one or two World Series, he might be a $300 million guy next year. Maybe not, because he'll be, what, 29? And that's a little bit old. You know, even if you give him a – it's hard to say you have a guy a 10-year deal at age 29 for a shortstop who doesn't rely on speed, but speed's a big part of his game. So that age factor might help out in terms of keeping him a little bit cheaper. But if some team thinks he's worth 300 mil for 8 to 10 years, the Dodgers, you know, would only be able to try to match that. They wouldn't be able to stop them from offering that. So it's a matter of, I would like to see it play out this way. And obviously this is ideal for everyone involved with the Dodgers, not maybe ideal for Corey Seager. I'd like to see the Dodgers throw Corey Seager the qualifying offer and Corey Seager take it in order to build his value one more year. You know, get the 18, 20 mil, whatever the qualifying offer is going to be. Get his value up for the following free agency when there's also less. It'll be him and Turner at that point on the market. I'm not sure what other shortstop free agents will be, but it'll be a lot less than Baez, Correa, Story. So I don't know. I honestly, you know, I love Corey Seager. He's been really good for the Dodgers. And, you know, I don't want to say he's injury prone, because, you know, Tommy John for a position player is pretty rare. He's had, you know, the other issues this year, which has just been, you know, unfortunately got hit in the hand. So it's not like he's had injuries that have, you know, it's not like he's had injuries that are going to keep happening or keep occurring. But I don't know. The Trace Turner speed for me is a big one, especially when he's can hit for power and hit for average, you know, and be a terror on the bases and be pretty solid at short defensively and all those things combined for me. And, you know, he can also play second. He can also play outfield. We're not sure if Seager can handle third. We're not sure if Seager could handle second if someone wanted to move there. And it's just a matter of, yeah, man, I don't know. I might be leaning toward Trey Turner a little bit, but if Corey Seager finishes hot the rest of the year, you know, I could be leaning towards Corey Seager. The only thing for me is, well, I guess the good thing is if the DH becomes a thing in both leagues, you know, even if Seager's defense deteriorates to a point where he's not serviceable at short, maybe can't handle third or is just okay at third base, the Dodgers could always stick him, I guess, at DH if they really wanted to. Trey Turner is a guy who I think will age more gracefully defensively. He'll only get better, you know, his hands and reaction and everything. Not reaction, but his hands and, you know, IQ and everything else will get better. Even if the speed deteriorates a little bit, he's still a good hitter. And, yeah, it's – I think Trey Turner is going to be more expensive at this point, you know, coming off next year, than Corey Seager is going to be this year. So that could be a big difference. If the Dodgers think they can get Corey Seager for cheaper, they might jump on that and, you know, take Turner this year and next year and then see what happens. But like I said, I think the ideal situation for me, Corey Seager, take a qualifying offer, play with the Dodgers next year, but have both of them up the middle. It'll you know, open up Gavin Lux to either become a utility player or open him up for a potential trade in the offseason, or just, you know, figure out a role, you know, roving, depending on how Chris Taylor goes. That's the other part. The Dodgers are going to have to pay Chris Taylor. So maybe they keep Chris Taylor, Trey Turner, and then they work on an extension for Trey Turner. There's a lot of different ways they can go. But I'm just going to wait. I don't have to make that decision right now. The Dodgers don't have to make the decision right now. I'm going to wait and see what happens. You keep everyone happy. You win another World Series. Who knows what happens? You know, maybe Corey Seager wants to come back and you know, chess his market, doesn't get the money he wants, comes back to the Dodgers, maybe on a 2-year deal for some money, and then says, okay, I'll test the market after that, or whatever the case may be. Maybe Trey Turner loves LA, the Dodgers won the World Series, and he's like, you know what, I want to get an extension done. You know, let's tack on 8 years or, you know, 6 to 8 years on my deal, and maybe not quite the 300 mil, but right under there, and let's see what happens. I'm not sure. And, you know, Andrew Friedman is not sure, obviously, right now, but he knows what the finances are. He knows what they can do. He knows what they want to do. The Dodgers will have to, you know, try to re-sign Kershaw, potentially re-sign Scherzer. Still have to see what happens with Trevor Bauer and that money. But what we've seen is that the Dodgers are willing to spend money, and the Dodgers team should reward the owners and us with World Series championships, reward themselves in order to show management, hey, keep spending money, retain our guys, keep the team together, and let's go roll and let's win more World Series. So that's what I got on the debate. Turner has a slight edge for me right now, but he's also going to be more expensive. And honestly, let's see how these last 2 months of the season and postseason play out. And then obviously see what happens to Corey Seager in the offseason. Trey Turner's still around for another year, so I'm excited to see him in a full season next season and see him the rest of the way this year. So that's all I got for today. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We were back in the number one spot on the MLB, Locked On MLB network of podcasts. So thank you all for listening. Thank you to all the new listeners. If someone told you about this podcast and you liked it and you kept listening, then you can pay that back by telling someone else about this podcast. And maybe they'll start listening and we'll keep our numbers going up. If you're not an everyday listener, please try to get at least one more every week. If you're at 3, go to 4. If you're at 4, go to 5. If you're at 1, go to 2. You know, just add one extra one a week. That'll help us out and help you out. You know, give you a way to kill some time, whether it's in your workout or your commute or just hanging out at home, whatever the case may be. We are on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, you can do so at 323-863-5625. Or you can send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Take your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Same.
D, I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!